not recording.
Here.
Okay. All right. Hey, well, somebody could catch the door. I think we've got everybody in here, and this way we won't be disturbing the other class. So this is the elementary school parents. Is that who this is? Oh, here comes more folks. I don't think they're literally elementary school parents. That's okay. We won't worry about that. So what we're going to be doing is for 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about elementary school parents and different aspects of that. For those of you who also may have preschool kids, the preschool classes are going to be pretty similar. Okay, it's going to be the same outline, same scriptures. What we're going to do there, though, is try to make application to the younger kids. We're going to try to the practical things and the discussion, I'm sure, will center around the age group we're talking about. So it's up to you whether you want to do both or not, but you're going to see some repetition if you do that. So I'm just, bringing that up right up front. And anybody who wants to come back is certainly welcome to do that. So that's what we're going to do. And basically the goal of this class is to encourage you as parents. Parents need encouragement. That's right. To equip you. Hopefully you take something home from this that you can actually put into practice that you can use with your kids. It'll help your family. And it'll help you to focus on the right things. I don't think we're going to be giving you a lot of new things to do to add on top of what you're already doing. Because I think we're probably all pretty busy. What I do want to do is to help you to focus on the right things. If you're going to put out all this effort, if it's not on the right thing, you're going to end up tired and frustrated. So if we can get you focused on the right things and, at least get you a higher batting average, then you'll hit a lot more runs. It's getting close to baseball season. I need baseball analogies, right? So we're going to have four classes. Today we're going to talk about the foundation. That's going to be God in the home. Okay, the foundation of parenting for any age group, but we'll be talking about it in the context of elementary kids. The first class is the foundation. The second class is about the parents. So mom and dad, how mom and dad get together and how they function together as parents. The third class is going to be about the kids. Okay, so we talk the foundation, the parents, the kids, and we'll talk about godly training, talk about discipline, sort of what are the rules of the road for the kids, what's in bounds, what's out of bounds, what do you do when they go out of bounds, how do you manage the kids. Right. And then the fourth class is going to be about the world. Okay, the world is basically, the goal of a parent is to keep the world out of the life of the kid. Okay, and that's going to be, that's there's you know, we're going to have one class on that, and basically that'll be your concern for the rest of your parenthood, is how do I keep the world out of my kids? So that's what we're going to do. And so that's kind of laid out where we're headed. Before we go any further, let's have a prayer. Father, we are grateful that you are our Father. We're grateful that you are our parent, that you care about us, that you discipline us, although it's unpleasant at the time. Father, we're grateful that you love us, that you provide for us. Father, help us to learn how to provide the right kind of home, the right kind of direction, the right kind of instruction for our children. Help us today as we study these things. Help me to present your word the way it needs to be. Father, help us to understand from you, from your word, the kind of parents we ought to be. Yep. We love you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to start out talking just a little bit about my family, just for a little bit. Just because I really like my family. My wife, Sherry, you guys all know Sherry. Yeah. Sherry and I both were converted back in the 70s at NC State University. We were in college. There you go, Wolfpack. Somebody in here knows a little bit about the Wolfpack. So anyway, we were converted back in the 70s. We got married in 1979. I'm getting ahead of myself here. 1982 was when our first child was born. That was Melody.
Okay.
So Melody was born in 1982, and Laura was born in 1984. So basically, we've been at this since 1982. Okay, so that makes it be 30 years in about a month and a half. About 6 weeks, it'll be 30 years we've been at this. So that tells you how old our oldest child is. You know, you can figure that out. But no, so our daughter, we were in Charlotte at the time. We were part of a church plant, or we started a church. It wasn't really planted from anywhere. It just kind of sprung up. But a little church started in Charlotte. We moved to Florida in the 90s for about a year, and then we moved here. We've been here since 95. So when we moved here, our kids did a lot of moving around, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get into some of the practical discussions later. But basically, our kids, we moved here. They started going to camp here. They're part of the teen ministry here. They became disciples in high school. Both went to Georgia Tech. Both married guys that came from Georgia Tech, graduated, so they're living over in Cherokee County now. So we've been through all that. We're now in the process of watching our grandchildren grow up, and we've got three of them so far, and we're thrilled with that. But anyway, they're the sort of still in the preschool stage. So we've been through the elementary school years with two kids. So that's kind of our credentials for the class, okay? But I'm not going to be, especially tonight, it's not going to be so much, here's all the smart things that Alan and Sherry figured out. This is going to be, we're going to look at what the Bible says. Because, it doesn't really matter how, our what we figured out, basically, the only thing we figured out that's worth anything is we figured out what the Bible says about it.
Amen.
So that's what we're going to do.
Amen.
Before we go any further, let me just have a little discussion. What are your challenges? What makes... parenting is tough, right? It's one of the toughest things that we do. What is it that makes parenting tough for you?
Trying to instill respect.
Respect. Okay. Sherry's going to be my note taker. I'm going to try to hit these as we go through the other classes. Make sure that we cover the things you bring up. So we'll be sure you bring those things up. Yes, Chad.
Juggling work and kids and spending time with your wife and kids and work.
Kids and work and wife and work and kids and wife and work and kids and... Okay, yeah, definitely the time and the attention, it's a challenge. Joseph.
Trying to encourage kids to have things that are like God that's in us. And trying to keep them from having things that are not like God, from them having it.
That's right. So they're going to be imitating what they see in you, right?
Yes.
And so how do I get them to imitate the good things and not imitate the bad things, right? And we got some ideas about that. I can help you with that. Okay, Tam?
Obeying the first time.
Oh. Obeying the first time. Has anybody in here got that one figured out yet? Okay. Obeying the first time. But, we can give you some pointers on that. It's not a magic formula, but we can give you some pointers on that. Okay,
I think doing how hard to be like on them when they're praying and not taking it as seriously as we would. We pray together every night, and just how hard to be on them. That balance, we don't want it to be we don't want them to hate doing it. But we've noticed that they have the same.
Yeah.
They're praying from their heart as opposed to just regurgitating something.
Right. How do you get them to take these things that we do with God seriously as they need? They're real.
Most of the good part of the time they do, but there are times where they don't.
Right. How do you turn the kid into a mature adult that does the right thing every time? That's sort of the point, right? Okay. Yes.
I think being consistent, whether you are in a great mood or not, just be consistent. That's
being consistent, okay? We'll definitely talk a good bit about that when we get to the discipline, when we talk about the third class, the kids' class. Okay. Okay. Over here. Yeah.
Major. Family influences. Mm-hmm. So I think, at least for me, our influences of our sons with their cousins. So I don't... getting more direction on that.
All right, so there's negative influences around them, right?
Right.
And how do you overcome that? Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll talk a good bit about that. Okay. Sure.
I think things they see and hear at school and on the world and then bringing it home and how they have to you know, leave that stuff out in the world.
How do you get them how do you bail out the boat? It keeps getting, you know, it's getting swamped with the world, right?
Yeah.
You have to bail it out. Okay, Adam.
I guess from a stepfather point of view, with the two stepkids, just establishing a trust relationship and developing, like, authority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So blended families create some new, you know, unique challenges, don't they? We've got a few of those, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's something we'll talk about.
Dealing with emotions.
With yours or theirs? Okay. Especially when your emotions go this way, theirs go this way.
Dealing with emotions, okay. That's a good one. Okay, John?
I think how to get along with the siblings.
Yeah. Bring the children. Yeah. Love your brother, your sister.
Yes. Remaining calm and patient.
Yeah. Patience. Calmness. Keeping your just sort of relates to the emotions.
Yeah. What I think about, I remember our oldest man is 25, but I remember when he was in the house with Tyler, you can't have cookie cutter discipline or the way you raise. You raised Tyler totally different, and that can be another challenge. Like, you cannot do the same thing with Bernard as I would do with Tyler. And I know that there's people in here with 2 or 3 children that can't be the same type of.
Our two were different, okay?
Yeah,
and things that work with Melody wouldn't work as well with Laura. Right? Yeah. You'll hear more about that. You know. They both turned out, but they both turned out great. The point is that.
There's hope.
You just have to sort of figure it out as you go. But we'll, that's cookie cutter discipline and cookie cutter. In other words, same rules. I mean, there are kind of same rules for everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
But you're dealing with an individual. Okay, right. Coaching and inspiring and what do they need? Okay. You know, there's a ton of things we could talk about, but Sherry's over there writing these things down.
Sherry? Just mention, I was thinking is that being a parent, or especially being a mom, is 24/7. And just feel like, you have no more endurance and you have to keep going.
Endurance, around the clock. One of the things I was surprised that we didn't hear about was money.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there any problem with money? Everybody's got that one figured out. money. Just wait till you start thinking of college.
What about allowance?
Okay, allowance. How do you train the children with money? Okay, that's a good one. Sherry, you got that right.
Oh, I'm sure. I got you.
Yeah. Okay. And there's homework and grades. How do you resolve conflict with your spouse? You got kids, right?
Yes.
It's not like there's never going to be any conflict. Yeah. In fact, what Sherry and I have found is that once the house gets empty of kids, suddenly it's like there's no fights anymore. You know, we're just it's heaven. Peace. It's a beautiful thing. So anyway, all right. Yeah, we can talk about health.
Yeah,
we can talk about health.
Very good.
Grades. Okay, all these kinds of things. So we will try to hit some of these and hopefully give you some practical things, but hopefully some scriptures that talk about the principles behind those practical things. But the truth of the matter is God has answers to every one of these, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. And God created marriage, right?
Right.
He created the family.
Right.
Genesis 2:22-24, he made husband and wife. He created the family, Genesis 4:1. With the help of the Lord I brought forth a man. Okay, God created the first family, right? And all the ones that came after. So God has a plan. God didn't just kind of forget, say, I created this family thing, but wish I'd thought through a little harder about how to raise a family. No, he didn't do that. Yeah, that didn't happen. He has a plan, and he's told us about it. And if you want to take a look at it, let's look over in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Okay?
Amen.
I heard someone else teach a class on this. They said, what would you say if I told you I could give you the secret, the ultimate secret to raising children? Okay, we're going to get it right here. It's right here. Okay, the ultimate secret to raising a great family, great kids. Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 1. These are the commands, decrees, and laws
The Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them, may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. If you will do that, you'll do great.
Amen.
It says, you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord as long as you live. Okay. And what you do is, the foundation, the ultimate truth, the ultimate secret to a great family is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The greatest commandment, right? And this is where it comes from. And, 1 Corinthians 10:31, you can just write the reference down, says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. That's just another way of saying it. You love God with all your strength. That means everything you're doing is an expression of love, of your love for God. You're glorifying God, right? So God needs to be everything in your house. There's nothing that goes on in your house that God is not a part of.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Your kids know, don't they? Especially by the time they get to be in elementary school, they know if your relationship with God is real or not.
Yeah.
They know how seriously you take your Bible. They know how often you use your Bible. Not just read it, but use it, right? They know whether this stuff is real to you or not. That makes more difference than anything else that happens in your house. If you want your kids to respect the Bible, to fear God, to respect authority, they will learn it from you. They'll follow your example. That is not just, well, I'm not just talking about the words out of your mouth. I'm talking about they watch you.
Yeah.
They know how you live. They start seeing the Bible being used in your house. That's how you solve problems. It's how you settle disputes.
Yeah.
It's how you... when they see you do something wrong, and then they see you correct yourself with the scriptures, and then you repent. Those things teach the child that it's real. So you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your kids will see it. Okay, you're not doing it because your kids will see it, but you do it, and then your kids will see it. Okay, and it will lead to the right result. So you're doing this for your own sake, but you're also doing it for your kids. Your kids, you've heard the thing, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one.
Right.
Your kids probably think that. They may not put it in those words. But it's like, yeah, Mom and Dad, quit preaching to me and show me. You say that, but I know better.
Right.
Okay. God deserves that place in your life. Mm-hmm. And, I heard a preacher say one time, says, if you only lead one soul to the Lord in your life, make sure it's your own. Okay? And if you do that, then you'll be able to lead other people to it. You can't lead other people to somewhere you're not going yourself, right?
Wow.
Okay. So, greatest commandment, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, so, verse 6, we'll continue. We're going to do chapter 6 and a little bit of chapter 7, so that's kind of where we're headed here. So, what I'm giving you here is, I've sort of jumped into it without setting it up. These are seven principles out of Deuteronomy. Seven principles for raising great kids. For raising a family that says, so that you, your children, and your children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live. So the first one is the greatest commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you're not going to do that one, don't mess with the rest of them. You're just going to mess up. But you need to start there. All right, the second one is to saturate your home with the scriptures. Okay, so you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now you're going to just absorb the scriptures in every corner of your house. Verse 6. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. That's whose hearts? Starts with mom and dad, right?
Yes.
It needs to be on your heart. The scriptures are on your heart. That means you know them, right? It means you love them. It means you think about them. You talk about them. You meditate on them. This isn't just... I had my 30-minute quiet time and I read my Bible.
Right.
This is how I love your law, Lord. You know. So it says these scriptures ought to be on your hearts. Verse 7 says, impress them on your children. That's an interesting word. It is impressing them on your children. How do you impress them on your children? We're not talking about branding them or something. Right? Okay, here's, you know, obey your parents in the Lord. You know, here's a branding image. I don't think that's not what he had in mind. No. The idea here is, this, you know, you're teaching your kids from the scriptures. When you're teaching them right and wrong, you show it to them in the Bible. Okay. When you're correcting your children, when you're disciplining your children, the Bible is open. You're showing it to them. You know, when you have to punish your children, we have to provide a spanking, or we have to provide some kind of discipline. You show them in scriptures where it says, God tells me to do this. I would not be a good parent if I didn't do this. I must do this. And you know, that's part of what helps you deal with those emotions. We'll talk more about that later. But you know, you're impressing them upon your children. Going on in verse 7. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Post them on your refrigerator. You know. Yeah, do you have any plaques in your house that have scriptures on them?
Yeah.
Okay, a lot of us do. You know, that's a great thing. Do you have note cards that you have scriptures on that you memorize? I don't know if people use note cards anymore, but that's what we used to do in college. But
yeah.
You need to have some kind of, you know, memorizing scripture. The parents are memorizing scripture. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you know, kids will notice. Mm-hmm. If you're memorizing scripture, you're putting it in your heart, then you're going to be able to, basically that's part of what's going to help them to see that it's important to you. So you're sitting at the dinner table, and some issue comes up. Okay, something happened at school today, some conflict between two kids, or just some question they have about something you're talking about. Why did that happen? You know, bring the scriptures into that discussion.
Right.
Amen.
You know, it ought not to be. Yeah. You know, in our house, how many of y'all have family devotionals? Anybody? We tried family devotionals, and we were not very good at that.
No. Okay.
What we were good at was just talking about the Bible in life.
Amen.
Everywhere we went. So we're sitting around the dinner table. We would talk about scriptures. We would even talk about, hey, what do you think this scripture means? I was reading this today. Or, you know, we'd be traveling to North Carolina to visit grandparents. And so we had these scripture games where... One of the games we played was a trivia game where basically you go around, so there's four people in the car, all right? So each person takes a turn, and whoever's turn was first would take Genesis. You have to quote a verse out of Genesis. And the next person has Exodus. They have to quote a verse out of Exodus. Wow. Next person has Leviticus. They have to quote a verse out of Leviticus. Yeah. Can you quote a verse out of Leviticus? Then you got numbers, and we go through, you know. And yeah, we had some mercy. If you didn't know one, you could go find one, and then of course, if you're driving, you have to know one. but I should have a higher standard, right?
Amen.
Okay. So, but anyway, but yeah, we would, or sometimes we would say, okay, tell me. We had this other game where we would play where, and we'd go through the whole Bible like that. We go all the way to Revelation. The other thing we would do is we'd say, okay, tell me a Bible character whose name starts with an A. And they would say, okay, Abraham.
Yeah.
Okay, the last letter of Abraham is M. Tell me a Bible character whose name starts with M. You know, and then Malachi. So then you kind of go through, and that is an I. Okay, who's a Bible character whose name starts with I? You know, Isaiah. You know, so yeah. So anyway, you get through all these things, and there's a lot. You could also go through the alphabet and do that same one. But anyway, so you know, the point is, these are trivia games, okay? But the kids loved it, you know. We would also say another way of going through the Bible is say, tell me something that happened in Genesis.
Yeah.
Tell me something that happened in Exodus. Mm-hmm. Tell me something that happened. Yeah. Or something that's written about there. Maybe it's not an event. Maybe it's talks about this situation. And after a while, I'm going to get Leviticus or whatever. And after a while, you figure out, okay, I'm going to learn something there. So next time we play this game, I'm going to know something in Leviticus. Right?
Yeah,
so, it's a constructive thing. But you know, and you know, these are like trivia games. They're fun. Elementary school kids like this kind of stuff. All right, but you gotta at least have a clue. You gotta help them get to the point where they can at least come to the table with something, right? But and you could also do it, you know, where you've got, you know, if you got two kids, the two kids can take on mom and dad. So it can be three teams. Mom's a team, dad's a team, and the two kids are a team. Or, you know, there's a lot of things you can do to sort of balance the scales. Or, you know, you could start in Matthew, you know, in the New Testament, a little easier. But anyway, so the point is, you can invent games. We invented those games. Nobody told us about them. We just said, let's play a game. But, you know, we talked about them when we were driving down the road, you know. We talked about them when we were sitting around the table. You know, it was a big deal. The Bible was part of everything we did. And so, again, like, we were not very good at family devotionals. We sort of ended up with, the family devotionals became a sort of a family meeting thing. Right? If there was a problem in the family, we would have a meeting, and we'd all get to have our say about the problem, and then we would solve it.
Amen.
And they hated family meetings, but they were a good thing. You know, we just didn't. But by making using the Bible more in sort of a conversational, and it wasn't always daddy teaching the kid about, sometimes I'd ask him, what do you think about this? And let them sort of work it out, you know. You don't want to just spoon feed them everything, especially, you know, give them a chance to think about it. Let them come up with their own understanding of what it says. So you're impressing on your children. You're talking about them everywhere you go. You're memorizing them. You've got them written on the walls. You got them on your refrigerator. You're talking about them at the dinner table. You got scriptures everywhere. So that was the, what number was that? That was number two, saturate your home with scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we're going to have to move a little quicker. So the third one is to remember the Lord in good times and bad. Mm-hmm. Starting in verse 10. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then, when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the people around you, for the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. There's a warning, right? Okay. He wants you to be careful that you do not forget the Lord. Okay. So, you know, we all know we're prosperous, right? But, you know, how many of us have a cell phone? Everybody, I think probably pretty much everybody. How many of us have a television? How many of us have a computer? Okay. Many of us have internet access. So here's a question. Suppose, have you ever watched the TV show Survivor Man?
Yeah.
So this guy goes off into this wilderness place and lives for a week and feeds himself and eats lizards and starts fire with sticks. So suppose you were a Survivor Man. You're out in the wilderness on some desert island. How long would it be before you had a cell phone? You would never have one, right?
No.
You would never have a computer. You'd never have a television. Would you have a refrigerator?
No.
Would you have air conditioning?
No.
But you have all those things, right?
Yeah.
You're just like these people. You're living in a house provided by things you didn't make yourself, right? They were given to you. God blessed you with those.
Right.
And somebody else made those, and now you have them in your house. Okay? And you think you're so prosperous. Don't let those things distract you from God.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord. You get so wrapped up in those other things that God's sort of out of the picture. You're in the same situation. And what do you say what's God going to feel like if you forget the Lord? If you become, you know, basically entangled in all that other stuff and God doesn't have first place in your house.
Wow.
I mean, he says he's a jealous God. He's a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you. Don't want that. It's not a good thing. Okay, you do not want God's anger burning against you. Just a little hint, you know, I'm trying to help you. I'm sure you already knew that. He will destroy you from the face of the land. The point here is, you know, be careful that you don't forget the Lord. With all the, you know, we get distracted. And, you know, again, this is a big part of leading your house.
That's true.
Okay. What is going to be the focus in your house?
Yeah. Wow, that's true.
Somebody walks into your living room. What do they see? Okay, somebody walks into your den. Somebody comes into your house. What do they get the impression that here's somebody who loves the church, who loves God, who's engrossed and busy doing things for God? Or is it your hobbies that kind of jump up at everybody? Mm-hmm. You know, the things that take all your time. What is it that people see?
Come on.
Okay. You know, the point here is your house, you know, needs to be centered around God. And there's and trust me, Satan knows, you know, he's got bait. You know, he will attract you to other things. He will give you things that can consume your time, consume your attention. And when you come to church on Sunday, you come to church on Thursday, and the rest of the week you're doing something else.
Yeah.
Your kids know that.
Yeah, that's true.
And you know, and in their mind, church is something you do on Thursday night, something you do on Sunday. But everything, life is really about the other stuff.
Wow.
Okay. If that's the lesson that they're getting from you, you're gonna have a tough time as your kids grow up. You know, because they're gonna. Because Satan's after them, and he's going to be tempting them. He's going to be drawing them away. We're going to talk, especially when we get into the class at the end on the world, about the battle that you're in to keep Satan's distractions and temptations and values of the world out of your house. Okay, and it starts from, I've used this analogy before. People are like sponges. Okay. You take a sponge. You put it in a bucket of vinegar, what's it going to soak up?
Vinegar.
You take a sponge and put it in a bucket of clean water, what's it going to soak up? Okay. What are your kids soaking up? It's whatever they're in. Okay. And they're going to learn it from you, they're going to learn it from what's in your house. They're also learning it from school. They're also learning it from everywhere else they go. So we have to be careful what we allow in. Be careful you do not forget the Lord. Number four, obey. Okay. Starting in verse 16. Do not test the Lord your God as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep his commands. Keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight so that it may go well with you and you may go in and take over the good land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers, thrusting out all the enemies before you as the Lord said. It's pretty simple. Okay, you're saturated in the Bible. You're reading it. So now you know what his commands are. You got to obey them, don't you? And your kids need to see you obey them.
Yeah.
They need to see you say, I'm not going to do that because the Bible says not to.
Yeah.
They need to see you say, I'm going to do this because the Bible says to do that. Mm-hmm. They need to see you, you know, going out and serving the homeless because of Matthew 25. You know, right. If you've done this for the least of these, you've done it for me. They need to see you go out and serve your brothers and sisters. They need to see you sharing your faith.
Yeah.
Is this stuff real to you? Do you really think there's going to be a judgment? Do you really think that person is not going to heaven unless something changes?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you really believe this stuff? Your kids know if you really believe it. Okay. They can tell. So we need to obey. We need to act like it's real. If it's real, you know, it needs to be real. Okay. Number five. Make the scriptures practical in your house. Starting in verse 20. In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us this land and that he promised on oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. Okay? So, the child comes up and asks you these things. Okay? Are you going to be able to answer? That's a good answer, right? Okay. Of course, in our case, it's a little different because we were not slaves in Egypt, not personally. Our parents were not slaves in Egypt. But what we can talk about is what God has done for us.
Yeah.
We can talk about his commands. We can talk about why we do what we're doing. We could show them in the Bible. But whose job is it to do that? You know, it's not the church's job to teach those things to your kids. Really, our job is to equip you to teach them. That's what, to the best of our ability, we want to equip the parents to train the children to love God. When we bring the children into our worship service, that's what it's all about. It's so that you can teach your children to worship God. So they can see you worship God. They see you take communion. They see you singing. They see you taking notes in the sermon. They see when you go home from church, you're talking to them about what happened to church. And they see you saying, okay, that's a really good thing. You know, he talked about evangelism, and let's go do some of that this week because, you know, he's reminded us what we need to be doing. So, I mean, things like that. So you're basically saying, let's take the sermon home with us. Let's talk to, you know, something that came up in this sermon. Ask the kids, you know, what do you think about that? Yeah. You know, draw it out of them. You know, so a, you know, an 8-year-old kid can get a lot out of the sermon. They don't need to be playing games in church.
Yeah.
You know, kids, elementary age kids, you need to be able to ask them what it was about on the way home. They need to be able to tell you.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, when you're talking about a, you know, 3, 4, maybe 5-year-old, that grows. You know, you start out small and then you get it grows. By the time you get to be a 7, 8, 9-year-old kid, you know, a 9-year-old kid ought to be a pretty spiritual person. They ought to have know a lot about what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a disciple. They ought to see mom and dad. They ought to have a pretty good idea that our house is different from the other people at school. And there's a reason for it, and I want to be that way too. Okay. So you know, it's setting high expectations, but it's also sort of acting that way. You know, it's not like I'm going to bring the hammer down on you because I have high expectations. It's more a matter of, you know, it's just kind of that's what I expect, you know, and I know you're going to do this because you can, and, you know, we were talking about it, and, you know, you blow it one Sunday, the next Sunday, you know, you say, okay, on the way to church, you say, pay attention because I'm going to ask you about this after, you know. You know, so that's kind of the idea. All right, so bring it home with you. That's kind of the idea here. Make the scriptures practical in your house. Have those conversations about what did that mean. Number 6, come out from them and be separate. Okay, 2 Corinthians 6:17, just make a note of that, where it basically says, come out from them and be separate. This is really talking about that whole thing about the world. Deuteronomy chapter 7, starting in verse 1. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess and drives out before you many nations, the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, 7 nations larger and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you, and you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them, show them no mercy. Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons, or take their daughters for your sons. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods, and the Lord's anger will burn against you, and will quickly destroy you. This is what you're to do to them. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down their Asherah poles, and burn their idols in the fire. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. Okay. There's got to be a boundary between you and the world. And, you know, something you're just going to have to get over, and your kids will have to get over, is there's a limit to how cool a Christian's kid can be, okay?
Yeah.
You know, what does it mean to dress cool? There's a lot of sin in that, isn't there? What does it mean to have cool vocabulary? Okay. What does it mean to, you know, to tell cool jokes? What does it mean to have cool entertainment? You know, to do cool things with cool people. You know, if you want to know godly cool. Yeah, godly cool. If you're righteous, if you treat people righteously, you know, you don't gossip, you don't slander, you don't lie, cheat, steal, you know, that's cool. It's at least respected, but that's not cool in the cultural sense. Okay, you need to get over the fact your kids are not going to be cool in the eyes of their friends. There's a limit to how cool they can be. Okay, and you know, you don't. you don't let your kids marry non-Christians, and so you don't let your kids get interested in marrying non-Christians. And, you know, it starts earlier than that. There has to be, it's kind of like what I was saying, you got to bail out the boat. Every time they come home from school, they bring a lot of junk with them. You need to bail out the boat, so it'll float again when you go back. There's, you know, and that's a big job when, you know, you're working, mom and dad are both working, you come home from work, you got the grocery shopping and the cooking and the laundry and the, you know, the housekeeping, and the husband and wife have to have some kind of relationship, and somewhere along the line, you got to do all this bailing out the boat, right? It's tough. It is tough. And, you know, the only solution I can give you to that one, we're going to talk more about it, is simplify your life. You know, set your, you know, if you can, you know, you downsize your life to the point to where you have some elbow room, where you aren't giving all of your life away to an employer or two employers.
Yes.
You know, where you aren't spending more than you earn, so you're not getting in debt, and now you don't have to go out and get yourself out of debt. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things we can talk about here. But the point here is, you've got to put yourself in a position where you can clean the world out. Yeah. You have to be alert to it because it's going to be coming in. What are some of the ways the world comes into your house?
Television.
Music.
Your neighbors when they're outside playing basketball in the front of your house.
The people your kids hang out with. The people you hang out with. The people that. Excuse me.
Tammy.
Tammy. I don't think Tammy brings the world into your house. I think she's one of the good things that comes into your house. So, but no, you gotta be careful. You know, it comes in on the internet. It comes in on, you know, your kids come, kids bring, they came in on your kids, don't they? They come in, where'd you learn to say that?
You know,
where do your kids learn to disrespect authority?
Disney Channel.
You know, hopefully they're not learning to disrespect authority from you, right? How do you talk about the police when you're driving down the road? How do you act when you see a speed limit sign? How do you talk about church at home? You know, how do you talk about, you know, is there something you don't like that you, you know, go get resolved with that person and don't, you know, air your grievances in front of your kids, right? Okay. So a lot of that has gone on in some places.
Right.
So, but the point is, if you allow your kids to become engrossed in the world, polluted by the world, you know, here he's talking about you let them intermarry with the world. You know, he says that, you know, God's anger is going to burn against who? Against the parent. Okay. It's your responsibility. So, all right, number seven, this is the last one.
Come on now.
Do not love the things of this world.
Amen.
Verse 24, Deuteronomy 7:24. He will give their kings into your hand, and you will wipe their names from under the heaven. No one will be able to stand up against you. You will destroy them. The images of their gods you are to burn in the fire. Do not covet the silver and gold on them. Do not take it for yourselves, or you will be ensnared by it. For it is detestable to the Lord your God. Do not bring detestable things into your house, or you, like it, will be set apart for destruction. Utterly abhor and detest it, for it is set apart for destruction. What's your attitude toward worldly, sinful culture? Do you really utterly abhor and detest it? Do you refuse to let it into your house? Okay. I'm going to finish up here in Joshua. But this isn't totally finished up. This is pretty much finished up. Joshua 24, verse 14. And this, yeah, so what we've just been looking at is in Deuteronomy is Moses giving a sermon just before they enter into the promised land. Joshua 24, this is after they've taken the promised land. They've moved into it. This is the next great leader of God's people getting ready to leave, getting ready to go to God to die. Before he dies, he talks to the people. He says in verse 14, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers, the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Okay. Whose call is it? Who you're going to serve? As for me and my household. Joshua spoke for his household. He said, this is the way it's going to be in my house. Okay. Kids grow up, go somewhere else. That's their house. Right now, it's my house. And you know, our house, we go to church. We read the Bible. We don't use that kind of language. We don't watch that kind of TV. It's your... Don't be afraid to take a stand. Say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If you will do that, you stand a great chance of leading your children to the Lord.
Amen.
So we've talked about seven keys from Deuteronomy about raising a great family. Okay, the greatest commandment. Saturate your home with scriptures. Remember the Lord in good times and bad. Obey. It's an easy one to say. Teach your kids. It's your job. Teach them. Don't be conformed to the world, and don't love the things in the world.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, the church will do all we can to try to help your kids, but we cannot overcome bad parenting.
Okay.
Come on. You know, don't underestimate the importance of your life, your relationship with God, to your children. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, he said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Can you say that?
Follow my example.
Can you say that? Tell your kids, follow my example. Do it the way I did. Act like me. If they did that, would they be getting closer to God or farther from God? Okay. Follow my example. Set the kind of example that allows you to make that statement. Okay. We're going to talk about a lot of practicals as we go forward. We're going to talk about, you know, bringing the kids with you when you serve God, when you share your faith, when you study your Bible. Talk about making church attendance a priority and how to set up your kids for that. Praying with your kids. Talk about sharing what you're learning from the Bible, having conversations about that. Having close relationships in the church. Let the kids see where your best friends are. Okay, and hopefully setting it up so their best friends will be. So, hope this is helpful to you. I think this is the foundation. If you get this right, the rest of it's going to fall into place.
Amen.
So that's tonight's class. Next week, we will talk about the parents, the marriage. So, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for laying out for us, through Moses, how we can lead our children to love you and to respect you and to grow up to be your children.
Yes.
Father, help us to do it. It's easier to talk about it than it is to do it, Father. Help us as we go forward with the classes to get practical, to be able to come up with practical things we can do that will lead our children to you. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So,